From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this is a bonus. We are airing episode 255 from Haunt Weekly. So if you've already listened to this episode on Haunt Weekly, you can feel free to skip now. But if you haven't, we thought this would be a really interesting treat for you on this countdown to Halloween. This episode is all about diving into the legends of the Headless Horseman, and I definitely learned a few things. So give it a listen, won't you?
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again, depending upon when you're catching us. If you're catching us live, it's Sunday. If you're catching us right as we upload the recorded version, it's Monday. If you're catching us later, you know the date better than I do. And this time, we have a very interesting topic. This is one of those, we've been doing some deep dives. Like, this is what we do every Halloween season. While everyone's busy working in their haunts and so forth, we kind of go a little research crazy sometimes and do these deep dives.
Have we?
In the past,
this is the first one.
Well, we've done other legends and things like that.
Yeah, we have.
But this one I'm really excited about because we're talking about the Headless Horseman. And yes, plural, Headless Horsemen. And this is a legend that just had a huge impact on the haunted attraction industry. I mean, the Headless Horseman is one of the most prominent haunted attractions in Ulster Park, New York. It's one of the biggest, most prominent haunted attractions. It's right on our bucket list. I think
we mentioned
that.
Yeah.
So definitely want to see that. But yeah.
And I don't know why we haven't covered it before.
Yeah, we never really touched on this.
This is like waiting until whatever 100th episode we did the plagiarism one on. This is like, yeah, we should have talked about this a long time ago.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah, well, we're slipping here. I don't know what the hell we did wrong. But yes, definitely. If you want to know about all the other things that we waited until way too late to talk about, you can catch up on the previous episodes at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, or hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All the previous episodes are there, and they go live on YouTube at the same time as they go out on the podcast feed. So if you just prefer subscribing to stuff on YouTube, there you go. Also, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Yeah, podcast app has you covered, basically.
It does.
All right, first item up for business this week is we have to announce last week's question of the week. We asked you what your favorite Halloween pump-up jam is or your favorite Halloween song more broadly. Mm-hmm. And as usual, we got a lot of great answers.
Yeah.
A lot of ones we knew and a lot of ones we already kind of put in that category ourselves.
Right, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Our winner this week is one who gave us a song we knew but didn't put in that category and it recontextualized it for us.
Yeah.
At least for me, I mean.
Yeah.
But Crystal, it is.
Thank you.
Just so I don't have the temptation to.
Pete Blocky Blackwell, All Hallows Eve by Typo Negative.
Yeah. I love me some Typo Negative.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an old school goth, ultimately.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, some Typo Negative is definitely up there for me. But I never thought of that, even though it's literally All Hallows Eve.
Right.
Which is what makes it kind of a duh.
Yeah.
Moment for me. It's like, wow.
Well, I think it's because we listen to different music as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is, like, most of our Halloween music either has nostalgia factor.
Right.
It's the goofy, cartoony stuff, the Disney stuff, the villain songs, things like that. Or it's the hard rock pump-up anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And Typos, they're a rock band, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not Rob Zombie. It's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe that's just my mentality on it.
Yeah.
I'm about to get my ass kicked by 8,000 Typo fans. I mean, I love Typo. It's just I never quite put him in that bucket for some reason, and I appreciate the recontextualization. It's a bit like when someone pointed out that the Police were reggae rock, and I went, wait! No, you're right. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I need to sit down. All right. So that brings us to, Pete, we will be in touch with you shortly. PM us, DM us your address, your information, and we will get stuff out to you in early November.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're doing monthly batches of these, right?
We are, unless I have stuff ready and just feel like sending it out early, which could
happen. It will be yeeted at you at whatever time.
Speaking of prizes, though, the other prizes have gone out.
Yes.
They were a little late. Sorry, guys. There's like storms and distractions. So.
Yeah, Hurricane Delta at the beginning of the month. It didn't go out the week it should have. And
so it went out last week at the end of the week. So you should be getting those this week.
Probably over the next few days.
To post pictures and tag us and
tag us, bag us.
What you think?
Yeah, let us know.
Because I mean, if you guys want something else, just let me know what kind of prizes you want. Yeah. That's a craft related that I can actually make.
Yeah. And ideally will fit in a reasonable size envelope.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm using tiny envelopes. Oh, the winners for this month got extra special stuff that my mom made. We were hoping to have it last month, but we didn't get them. So they've got little cards and bookmarks and stuff. I'll be posting pictures of those. So if anybody's interested in ordering them from her, then I can.
Yeah. She makes a wide variety of custom cards.
Yeah.
And it's really neat stuff. We've been holding off on sharing what it is because we want to keep it a surprise for the people who win.
Yeah.
Answer the weekly question. The surprises are legion in those.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might even get a startle out of this month.
Yeah. Some of you might need to be careful opening them. It's just a warning. All right. So that brings us to this week's question for the audience. And the question is a simple one. Last week, we asked your favorite Halloween song. Mm-hmm. This week, what's your favorite Halloween candy? And this one has already sparked fiery conversation in the chat.
Yeah, and there seems to be like a lot for one particular candy that we'll get to at the end.
Yes, we will. And as rules go, we answer it first. Crystal, what is yours?
Okay, so growing up, I have two answers.
Oh, God.
Growing up, the one that I would always fight mom over, because mom and I would go through my candy bag, where the white candy that comes with in black striped paper. They're called peanut butter bars, and they're made by Atkinson's.
I don't think I've even seen these. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, and it's weird because I've never seen like a pack of them, but I always got them at Halloween when I was a kid. That's like that and the little, as you call them, old lady strawberry candies. Yeah. Those were the ones that...
Yeah, like, I've never seen those in a pack of those either.
Yeah, now, whenever I got a little bit older, I was all about Nerds.
Yeah.
I love me some Nerds. So...
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I've been sitting here trying to think my favorite Halloween candy. One of the problems is I have to think of candies I only really consume at Halloween. And I'm not much of a candy eater. We were joking before we went live that I kind of wish people would give out steaks for trick-or-treating. Yeah. Or hamburgers or something. Yeah. I would love that.
Well, there is the adult Halloween that started like a couple of years ago where you bring alcohol around.
Yeah, I could do that too. That'd be great. But yeah, I'm not much of a candy consumer. And so, but my the absolute favorites, I do love fun size candy bars, but I eat those year round. They're not really a Halloween candy to me. So I think my favorite true Halloween candy has to be the Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
I do. I love them. I know they are chocolate flavored wax logs. I get that. I don't care. They're yummy. And I only eat them at Halloween.
Yeah.
And they are hell on my teeth. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's part of it is that they get stuck in there. So you're tasting the Tootsie Roll for hours later.
Yeah. You eat a handful of Tootsie Rolls. I have to water pick for like 3 days. We're trying to get it out. It's rough. But Tootsie Rolls will be mine. I'll stick to that. Okay, so don't have any housekeeping notes this week. That's usually where we stick them, is right about here.
Yep.
We've been very busy this past week. We've pretty much finished the yard display. We have a package coming tomorrow we'll need to absolutely 100% the display.
Yeah.
But that'll only take like 5 minutes to set up once it arrives. And the reason is stake lights.
Yeah.
What is going on? The path marker lights, as it's sometimes called?
Right.
What's going on? I mean,
they're like really hard to find this year.
And like we went to Spirit, to Spirit.
Yeah.
Because we were sure they would at least have something to fill in the bald spot we had. I was willing to let it be something different. I was willing to put up with that.
Yeah.
But we needed something for that last little bit of the perimeter. And they didn't have anything plug in, just these weird battery operated ones that were clowns and were broken. There was none at Home Depot, none at Lowe's, none at Target, none at
Walmart. We actually bought one at Home Depot that we thought might work, but then
they were the wrong kind.
The connectors didn't work together, so we couldn't string them in.
And they weren't a good type anyway. But yeah, what is going on? It's like you can't find stake lights anywhere. They out. You can find those projection lights. I mean, right. We do love those. Those are everywhere.
Those are less frequent now too, though. Like the fire and ice and those kind of lights.
Yeah, but now they got the motion ones.
Yeah, where you do the ones skulls with pictures and eyes are really stuff. Popular this year.
I don't know what the hell happened. It's like stake lights just went out of vogue. I don't know if it's that they made only like so many of them. They all got snapped up or because we were looking late in season or if they just never were put out.
Yeah.
But stake lights just are not a thing right now. Now, luckily, I was able to find or we were able to find the exact model of stake lights we have for most of it. It was and it's a comical story because basically a few years back, Walgreens put their Yikes in the Yard stake lights on sale.
Yeah.
Stupid cheap. It was like $2 mm-hmm. each one. So when we were doing our skeleton run to pick up the super cheap skeletons, we also picked up all of those and we ended up getting like 30 sets. And yeah. almost enough to do what we had. But this year, because we had, and there's enough to do our yard normally, but this year, since we don't have the light tunnel and the trick-or-treat zone, we're not doing the same things there, we had extra distance to cover, we just couldn't make it happen.
Right.
So, basically, we needed two more sets. I managed to find, I mean, I don't know who the fuck is selling random stake lights from Walgreens that are 5 years old on eBay, but God bless you, kind soul.
Yeah, I know, right?
God bless you. I paid a premium to get them here, too.
Right.
So we'll have those tomorrow. The FedEx for that arrives tomorrow. That'd be great. Now we wait, basically, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in other news, we may have ordered a hunting stand.
Yeah.
Details on that at 11. More on that later. Yeah, basically, that's probably going to be our biggest purchase this year was we found an on-sale hunting stand at Academy Sports. And because I don't think it would fit in our car, we're having it shipped to the house.
Exactly. Yeah, the shipping was insane.
Was almost as bad as the deer as the stand. I've never owned a deer stand. I've never been in a deer stand. I'm not a hunter. Just not my thing. Not my jam.
Right.
This will be an experience. I'm going to be in a deer stand for hours on end this year.
Yes.
Except instead of shooting deer or other wildlife, I will be shooting candy at trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is much more fun to my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, no insult to hunters, but I'd rather be throwing candy to trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. And we're going to decorate it all spooky because, we have 8,000 miles of weed blocker still. Could probably weed block the entire block. So, yeah, we may have acquired a hunting stand. It'll be fun. Yeah. All right. I wanted to follow up real fast on something we talked about, not last episode, but the episode before.
Mm-hmm.
The one where we talked about our trip to New Orleans nightmare. We went over there. They found my lockpicks.
They did.
They got me my lockpicks. They returned them.
Yeah.
So that is wonderful news. We have a conclusion to that story.
Yes.
That is great.
That's not often that we conclude things.
No, it is not. So that is great. I want to thank Sandy for that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank him for the frank and very productive conversation we had. We had a long conversation about what happened. He saw us. We didn't see him. He must have been hiding in the shadows. He was
at the table with all of the JPD.
Yeah, we just flatly didn't see him. And he understood our frustrations. And he seemed to understand our frustrations. And he wanted to make it clear that and the line looked more crowded than it was, he said.
Yeah.
Now, we saw what looked like groups had come together in the line.
Right.
And he admitted that may well have happened. And that they don't really have a way to enforce the distance. But the way it's set up, they only hold 125 people. Which, I mean, that's still a fair amount, but it is an outdoor line at the very least.
Right.
But what he told me and what I didn't realize and what was the big knowledge bomb was they were having a problem of parents apparently after 6 to 8 months locked up with their kids are just basically dropping them off and using the haunt as a daycare.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy. I mean, we saw this last year in Houston area where, you know, haunts built a whole area, a whole fairground for kids to do exactly this. And I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Haunted, but now, you know, I'm beginning to wonder.
Yeah. The haunts in this area and I include Baton Rouge and North Shore and so forth. Typically are you come and you go affairs. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a very good thing. Now 13th Gate has added a midway, but it's not super huge.
Right.
You could probably do everything on the midway inside 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not a very big midway.
Yeah.
And Rise has added a few new things too. Three mini escape rooms.
Yeah, but nothing like what is in Houston.
No, not Houston. It's like, yeah, it's
like one of them has an entire dance floor.
Yeah,
with a band, and it's just, or at least insane.
A sound, nice sound. I can't remember if it's a band or a sound system, but
yeah.
I
think it depends on the time and night.
Another one had a full concert venue.
Yeah.
Which they do have a concert stage at 13th Gate, but not like this. This was a giant, like, festival concert stage.
Yeah.
This was, it's a matter of scale here.
Mm-hmm.
And one in Houston straight up had an area for fire pits and picnics and things like that. It was crazy.
It was.
And we didn't get it because we're used to, and part of it's, we're trying to hit four haunts in a night.
Right.
Part of it's, you know, we're go.
Exactly.
And we're like, why are people just hanging around?
Right. And why are these all teenagers?
Yeah. Now we know, well, and apparently, so that's apparently been a thing in Houston, but it's not been a thing here.
No.
And when we talked about in the news episode about the shootings, one of the shootings happened at a haunt where parents were doing exactly that. They were dropping off the kids, and then the shooting happens, and then the sheriff's office is having to track down the kids' parents because they just shoved them out of the car and went somewhere else.
Yeah.
So apparently that's been a big problem for haunts this year, and that it brings me to the ultimate point I want to get across. The haunts are trying. I get that.
Yeah.
People are the worst part of society.
Yeah.
People suck, and people are going to mess it up for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what I wanted to say.
That was our worry going there.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much their efforts. We felt like we knew, I mean, their policies.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the other things is they are working with a very reduced staff, so I have no doubt that the staff inside the haunt is spread out enough that they're not interacting enough to you know, infect each other.
And they don't have, but that also means they don't have the crowd control to enforce mask wearing, to enforce social distancing in the queue, that type of thing. And I get it. I mean, I don't have good answers here. I'd never claim to have answers. I just know that I don't feel comfortable knowing, especially how terrible people are being in haunts.
Yeah, and I actually feel a little bad that we didn't get to see the haunt after talking to Sandy, because he's like, yeah, we had to, like, build a lot of props.
We couldn't, there was no trans world.
There were no trans worlds, so we had to build our own, and you know, that's
old school HOS
there.
Stuff there. That's,
exactly.
That's going old school, baby.
I would love to see
I really want to see that. So,
but
next year, I'm excited. Sandy, thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the candor. Appreciate it. You guys are awesome. My disappointment was, and I don't think I got it across adequately the first time. My disappointment was somewhat with the way some of the actors were behaving, but mostly it was with society.
Yeah.
At that point. And society is terrible.
Yeah. And I also don't think I realized where the end of the haunt property was.
Yeah.
Because the metal detector was in the road.
Yeah.
Which is not part of the property.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. But
it's very, very weird.
Anyway, I understand it a little better now.
We don't want to spend too much time on that because we got a lot to get through today.
Yes, we do.
This is a jam-packed episode, y'all. And speaking of people being terrible, though, I have to tell the story because I had mentioned to someone, I think it was Chris Gay I was chatting with. I said to him, yeah, we haven't had any problems with people not being aware that we're not open this year. No one seems to be asking us. I got a call Friday, I think it was.
Yeah, Friday. No, maybe Saturday.
It was sometime recently, though. Past couple of days, I got a call. Like, when y'all open? Like, ma'am, we're not open this year. We can't be open with the current city regulations.
And also, this was like 11:30 at night.
No, you're thinking of the one that happened later.
Oh, okay, never mind.
There's been two calls now, actually.
Okay.
I'm telling the first one.
Yeah.
Which was, and so I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't open. And, you know, it's not safe, and, you know, we can't do it with the current city regulations. Then she starts yelling at me. It starts with, how dare you close that, we blah, blah, and then it just trails off into indecipherableness.
Yeah.
And then she hangs up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Then she calls back.
Yeah.
I send her to voicemail. Then she calls back again. And then I just blocked the number because I'm not dealing with someone like that. So
no. How dare you close the free thing that we wanted to...
And the problem is, we wouldn't have been open that weekend anyway. We were only open the weekend of Halloween.
Yeah.
And we would not have been open at the time she was calling.
No.
So, And yeah, we had someone else call it like 11:30 Saturday night, and like, are y'all open? I'm like, no, man, no, we're not open this year. I'm sorry, we can't be open with the city rules.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, and then they hung up. At least that one was just an all man and not mad at me.
Right.
I mean, anyway, okay. On to serious news, and maybe going from the worst of society to the best of society in one jump here. We found out yesterday that Raven's Grin Inn, the very famous haunt in Mount Carroll, Illinois,
is most famous to us and our listeners.
If you don't know about Raven's Grin Inn, check out episode 87. That's way back. It's way back from July 2017. Yep. We sit down with Jim Warfield for an hour. He's the proprietor of this establishment. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife Jessica run it. And I think one of our greatest accomplishments on this podcast was getting Jim Warfield in one room for 1 hour to talk about one thing.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever been around Jim Warfield, you will know why that's an accomplishment. He is everywhere. That man is literally energy in human form. There's no other way to describe him.
Right.
If I get to his age and have a quarter of that energy, I'll be very happy.
Yeah.
But anyways, they have launched a GoFundMe. They have been shuttered since the very start of the pandemic. They're a year-round haunt. So they've been feeling the impacts now for 6-7 months.
Right, exactly.
So they have launched a GoFundMe. They are only asking for $7,000. Right before we head out here, I just checked. They had just crossed the $2,000 mark.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, please, we've shared the link on Haunt Weekly on Facebook. But also, if you are just listening to this podcast, you can go to tinyurl.com/goravensgrin. That's GoravensGrin. Goravensgrin. tinyurl.com/goravensgrin. I did not ask their permission to create it. I just wanted something I could give on air to you nice folks. Donate what you can. We've chipped in a little bit.
Right. And that's GoravensGrin.
Yes.
One N.
Yes, just one N.
Yep.
Yeah. Please check it out. Help them if you can. And if you can't, understand it's a pandemic. Share the link. Help get the word out there. Please. Because it's a great haunt. It's a historic haunt. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful and very special and unique place, even among haunted attractions.
Yeah, yeah. There's no experience that I've had that comes close to the one I had there.
Jim Warfield himself is an experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just say Jim Warfield is the experience, but the haunt itself is this. When you understand what this man did to his home to make this haunt, it includes installing 3-story slides through the entirety of his house.
Yeah.
He is certifiably insane, and I love every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you can, if you were able to donate, do so. It'd be a huge help. And they're not asking for much. They're only asking for $7,000.
Yeah.
Guys, we can do this. can do this. This community can do this.
Right.
All right, now we get on to the topic du jour, the actual topic of the week, the Headless Horseman. And honestly, I'm going to kick back a second and let Crystal take the lead for a bit.
Oh, well, thank you.
I know I've been talking a lot this episode. I'm sorry, but...
No, that's okay. So, Headless Horseman, I think that we mentioned it on our fairy tale one, was my favorite Halloween tradition growing up. Because we would watch Headless Horseman on TV with commercials and everything, and carve pumpkins. And, it's just a very nostalgic thing for me. And it also is one of the darker stories that I had access to as a kid. And I think it helped foster my love of the macabre. So that's why I really like it. I've gone a little bit nuts this
Tell
year.
Tell the nice people what you've done.
With Headless Horseman things, because so it started with a person that I know from doing shows. You're distracting me. offering up a hand embroidered Headless Horseman thing.
Cloth.
Yeah, it's a thing. I'm going to hang it on the wall.
It's a wall hanging.
It's an awesome thing. Curious Adornments is the person who did that. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder what else I can find Headless Horseman. We walk into Spirit. There's a Headless Horseman globe. Well, I have to have that to add to my collection.
You broke. We nearly had a perfect year of not buying anything from Spirit, and you broke it.
I know. I'm sorry. And whenever I got it home, I was actually really disappointed, because now that I've started painting miniatures, the miniature inside of it does not look very good. I don't like the paint job on it. But it's still Headless Horseman, so it's still on my shelf. And speaking of miniatures, I also bought the Headless Footman from Reaper, which comes with multiple heads. It's not exactly headless, because it has multiple. And I'm looking forward to painting that in the next couple of weeks. And I'm also working on a really big Diamond Dots. If you don't know what Diamond Dots are, it's a picture, and it's got glue on it, and you put little beads on it, it makes it shiny and sparkly and stuff.
So yeah, I'm it's basically think by color, by numbers, but pointillism.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be a shiny, pointillist Headless Horseman by the end of it, because why shouldn't he be shiny? But I have a group.
Why should vampires have all the fun, right?
Exactly. But I have a group at work that we meet to do Diamond Dots, and they've been choosing the dots to work on. So I wanted one for myself that wasn't just you know, what they've chosen is great, but it's not spooky.
Okay.
It's like balloons and mandala looking things. But so that's, oh yes, I did do that too. That's what you were adding in when you were distracting.
Sorry.
Me. So I also added a
last minute addition to the yard display.
Yeah, I found a pumpkin that I really like and put him on top of a skeleton. So that
these are headless horsemen. Skeleton headless horsemen. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there. I think it's safe to say you're a huge fan of it. I don't have quite the connection you do with it,
right?
But we decided we would delve into the history of it some, because we like talking about our legends, and this is a big one for the haunt community.
It is.
It's all over the shop. And as we began to delve into it, we learned our Headless Horseman is not the only one. Now, we're going to start with the one in the United States.
Right.
But then we're going to, toward the end, branch out and talk somewhat briefly, somewhat at length about the others.
Yes.
So.
Somewhere between briefly and at length.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We'll have to see how much, because we've got to talk about the Irish one.
We do.
Anyways.
Yes.
The story of the Sleepy Hollow legend actually begins in 1776. Should be a very familiar year for anyone that's like was alive in a history U.S. history class. The Revolutionary War had just begun in October 20, and the Battle of White Plains, New York, took place. White Plains took place. It's in White Plains, New York, which is about 35-ish miles north of Manhattan, basically. The battle was a British victory. Basically, this was at a point in the war the British were just kicking the crap out of the rebels, the American forces, and George Washington was just trying to slow the advance with a controlled retreat at this juncture, and this part of that retreat northward, away from New York. Mm-hmm. However, the British troops were fighting with a contingent of Hessian soldiers, who basically, like a lot of times when you get, you know, mercenaries on your team, you're going to have them do the heavy lifting. I mean, it's what you paid them for. So they were doing a lot of the actual fighting, even though they were smaller in number. Now, according to the legend, one of the Hessian troops was beheaded by an American cannonball. His comrades pulled the body away, but couldn't find or could not rescue his shattered head.
Yeah.
And he was buried in the old Dutch church cemetery in Sleepy Hollow, which is right next to Whitehaven. It's basically their next towns next door to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this part seems to be true.
Yes.
Most historians seem to believe there's at least some truth here, that there was a headless Hessian buried in that cemetery.
Right. And whenever we were talking about fairy tales, I mentioned that there was a difference between fairy tales and legends, according to people who study them, like, professionally.
Yeah.
Like, I totally should have known that was a job.
Of course it is.
Because, you know,
most of them are called politicians.
I like research. But So yeah, the thing that's different is legends do have a kernel of truth. They're set in modern times or modern.
So our stories,
our universe.
So our stories are legends.
Exactly. Fairy tales are set in a faraway land a long, long time ago, that kind of thing.
Now, the Sleepy Hollow region was well known even before this for being a haven for ghost stories and spooky stuff. It kind of always had that reputation. So, as such, a tale began to circulate about this Hessian roaming the region using a jack-o'-lantern as a substitute head slash weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as the story went on, it shifted to become more focused on Halloween rides, which makes sense. The battle was 3 days before Halloween.
Right.
And that's how this legend of Sleepy Hollow was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the main published version was from Washington Irving. He published it in 1820. As a part of a short story and essay collection, 34, that included Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle. Could you imagine?
He could have been Wrinkle, because by the time he woke up, he was wrinkly.
But could you imagine doing 34 short stories like that and having two become iconic American legends?
I believe I had that book, because I remember reading them both in a book.
That is absolutely bonkers. That is a...
Yeah.
Most writers will go their entire lives and never get a story enter the public consciousness that way. And you got two in one book.
Yeah.
You bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You bastard.
Yeah, I mean, because there are a lot of authors who are fairly successful, and it's, you know, their day job.
Yeah.
But we don't know their names. There are very few that I could list off the top of my head that are living.
Mm-hmm. So. True. But anyways, the story is known very well, so we're not going to spend a lot of time going through it. And
right.
If you want a more detailed version, go watch the Disney cartoon.
No.
It largely follows the story, or you can read the original. Mm-hmm. All right. Ichabod Crane is a lean, lanky, superstitious outsider from Connecticut. He was apparently brought in to be a schoolmaster. He has a competition with Abraham, quote-unquote, Brom Bones Van Brunt for the heart of the lovely Katrina Van Tassel.
Yes.
Brom tries to force this into a physical showdown, but Ichabod keeps deflecting that, and the two basically have a heated competition for affections that come to a head at a harvest party at the Van Tassel estate.
Right.
There, Ichabod fails to win Katrina's heart.
Yes.
He strikes out.
Yes.
Poor guy. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. I thought you had something there. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes out, and Brom Bones and others there were telling ghost stories the whole time, and he, being the superstitious lot, took him a little bit to heart, we'll say.
Yeah, he was frightened by them. He was very, very disturbed by...
In New Orleans, we'd say he's scary.
Exactly.
He's scary.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he's on his horse, Gunpowder, and he's going home. And basically, he spooks himself multiple times on this trip. Like, owls and random crap spook him.
Right.
And then eventually, the Headless Horseman pops out. And at first, he's like, oh, I'm doing it to myself again. And then he realizes, no, this one's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit just got serious.
Yeah.
And so he runs, and he knew the legend. He knew you were supposed to try to go to that bridge.
Right.
And he manages to make it across. But then the Headless Horseman hurls the pumpkin at him, knocking him off his horse, and then ambiguity, basically.
Yeah, you don't know exactly what happens to him.
Yeah, and then the Disney version, which we'll get to in a second, they leave it, they say, well, they don't know what happened, but there's a tale that he went and found a very good cook in the next town, married her in the next town over, giving Ichabod a happy story.
Yeah, I don't think his story ended like that. No. I don't think it was that happy. I think maybe he became the horseman.
Well, there's only two possible outcomes. One is that it was the actual Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
And if so, he did.
Yeah.
He did. There's no other outcome. Or it was Brom Bones dressed up as the Headless Horseman.
Right.
And if that's the case, he got run off real good. He may have landed somewhere else, but it still ain't going to be that happy of an ending for him.
Right.
So, yeah. Now, I did not know this, but there were a lot of film adaptations, a lot more than I realized.
Yes.
The very first one was 1922. A silent film was made of it.
Yeah, you realize that we have to find this now if it's available anywhere.
And, well, it should be. It should be public domain now.
Yeah, but some public domain.
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean it's available.
Film from the 1922s is sometimes hard to find.
But anyways, the best-known version was from Disney's The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you've never watched the full thing, and you may not have, it's a two-part, like, 60-minute thing. Mm-hmm. They tell two stories, and one is the adventure of Mr. Toad, which is an absolutely god-awful moral of a story.
Yeah.
Mr. Toad is a fucking asshole, and I'm not going to hear anything else.
Yeah. And in that one...
He's a garbage toad.
And in that one, Katrina is obviously leading Ichabod on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and she's just playing hard.
And that's one of the
everybody.
Big differences is that in the original, he was just striking out. He wasn't getting anywhere.
Right.
And Katrina wasn't doing anything. He was just purely the pursuer there.
Right.
And this one, Katrina's obviously stoking the shit as she goes.
Yeah.
In the Disney version, she's sitting there poking both of the bears.
Yeah, exactly.
Making her, you know, kind of a little shit too there. You got to be honest.
Yeah, she's one of the villains in the Disney version.
Yeah, she's definitely a villain in that one. Then you have the 1999 Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci version, the Tim Burton one.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I liked it. I've got Sleepy Hollow. So,
well, but I'm of the mindset if I'm going to watch a Tim Burton film, I've got like three others in the queue and ahead of it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I would start with Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride.
Yeah.
Because I love me Corpse Bride, man.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Good songs.
Good songs in it, yeah. So, yeah, I've at least got two right off the top of my head I would put in front of it. Oh, Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Burton, Sweeney Todd. So now I've got three that definitely go in front of it.
Yeah.
Then you have a 1980 TV film. I didn't put these in chronological order for some reason. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's with Jeff Goldblum and Meg Foster. I've not even heard of this. So I've never seen it. May have to track it down. And then you have The Hollow, a 2004 ABC family series about Ichabod's descendants.
Yeah, that one out of this.
You saw that?
No. Oh, out God. Of this list, that one's the one that's like, really? That's the one that I'm like, I don't have to see that because that just sounds ridiculous.
And, well, A, it means...
That he had descendants.
Yeah, that he had descendants. So therefore, we know which version of the story...
They were going with.
Because that's one of the things I do like about it. It's got that ambiguous ending. It's kind of like The Lady or the Tiger.
Yeah.
That story, old story, where you have to decide the ending yourself. In my head, the ending is, no, that was the Headless Horseman, and he just got yeeted.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Oh, yeah.
That's my version of it. That's how I think it ended. How do you think it ended? Leave a note in the comments. I'm interested. Yeah. How do you think Sweeney Todd ended? I mean, God damn it.
Headless
Sleepy
Horseman.
Sleepy Hollow ended.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you tell me, did Ichabod Crane live or die? Maybe we'll put a poll up on Facebook later in the week. I'm curious to see what you guys think about that. And then in 2013, there was a crime horror series set in modern times called Sleepy Hollow, where Ichabod is basically a professor and is now helping that it's... And that one, actually, if I'm remembering correctly, Ichabod is the one that killed and beheaded the Headless Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a badass
hunter
of some stripe. And now it's set in modern times in Sleepy Hollow, and he's a police detective? I've not seen this, and I don't know if I need to.
I think I watched the first couple of episodes just because of the title, and I don't think I got into it.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that Ellie has watched it.
Oh. Yeah, so Ellie can offer some insight on that. But
yeah.
So... There's a lot of adaptations, but if you're looking for the adaptations of the actual story, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the Disney one is the best known. And it's actually fairly faithful. I mean, they took some liberties, like I said, with Katrina.
Right.
And some of that stuff. But it was relatively faithful to the shorts. It's easy to do a faithful adaptation of a short story in animation, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like it's a full novel where you got to cut all this stuff out.
No. And you also don't have to... stretch it out to a 2-hour movie, although, you know, somebody did.
Yeah, Tim Burton did.
Exactly.
Woo! I mean, even if you really like it, you have to admit it had almost not a goddamn thing to do with the actual Sleepy Hollow story. Mm-hmm. Other than there was a Headless Horseman and there was an Ichabod. But here's the thing. When we were looking up this, and that's basically the entirety of the Headless Horseman legend in these United States. Now, it turns out there are a lot of other Headless Horsemen.
Yeah.
And the one we have the most information on is actually the English version, which is really interesting. It comes from a 14th century poem, Gawain and the I think as I say, Gawain and the Green Knight.
Yeah, Gawain and the Green Knight features the Headless Horseman.
Now, this is an Arthurian story, which means it's part of the King Arthur legend.
Exactly.
And the poet is completely unknown, by the way. In fact, he is merely known as the Gawain, as the Arthurian poet.
Right.
You have no idea who wrote it.
No.
Thank God it's out of copyright, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
But anyways, Sir Gawain is one of the Sir Arthur's Knights of the Round Table, and he accepts a challenge from the mysterious Green Knight.
Yeah.
Which green is a very interesting choice of color.
It is. But, yeah. So he's a Green Knight.
He's a Green Knight. That's his thing. Basically, the challenge works like this. Sir Gawain gets to strike the Green Knight with one blow.
Yes.
Under the condition that he must return to the Green Knight's castle to receive the retaliatory blow in a year.
A year and a day.
A year and a day. And so Sir Gawain's like, I know how to handle this.
Yeah.
Takes out a sword, gets the guy down, chops off his fucking head.
Yeah.
Straight up decapitation, one blow. Mm-hmm. And then this knight stands up, picks up his head, gets on his horse, and says, see you in a year and a day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fuck you! Sucker!
Yeah, now I can't remember if I've seen this in a cartoon form or if it...
Yeah.
Or if I just, you know, had that good
Well, I'm going to say this was not in the Disney King Arthur story. Disney did not include it in that. I know that much.
It should be included.
So anyways, yeah, he straight up rides away and Gawain's like, what the fuck I do now?
Yeah.
Because A, he didn't actually know where the Green Knight was from.
No.
And B, he just saw a headless dude ride off into the sunset.
Exactly.
He's a little flustered. So anyways, he figures it out. And basically, there's this long chicanery where he goes to a nearby castle, stays there for a bit. And they say, oh yeah, the Green Knight, he lives just right up the road and so forth. And so he goes there. But when it was time for him to take his blow, basically get his head chopped off, he has a failing of courage. He flinches, basically.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm being decapitated and I flinched. Oh, it's so horrible. Yeah. But anyways, he says, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was a failure of my code of ethics. I'll try it again. Mm-hmm. And he tries it again. The Green Knight goes to cut off his head. It only leaves a very small cut. And it turns out the whole thing was a trick.
Yeah.
Executed by Arthur's sister, a sorceress. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the Knights of the Round Table, ashamed for having shown weakness, for having flinched. And the other knights go, oh, we absolve you of your guilt for this. In fact, here, have a nice little green sash to wear to remind you of this adventure.
Yeah, for the rest exactly.
You dicks! That's just my PTSD sash right there, what that is.
Yeah.
You dicks!
Yeah, I don't know what he was supposed to learn from this, you know?
I don't know either!
Yeah.
It's horror! The legend is really weird, and like I said, the whole thing centers around a headless horseman.
Yeah.
Because Green Knight ain't got no head.
Right. And apparently wasn't a real person. It was just a conjured thing.
I know the code of chivalry and all that was a big thing in the Arthurian stories. I still don't understand the lesson. Because he showed up to get his goddamn head chopped off.
Yeah.
He kept his end of the bargain the best humanly possible.
Yeah, and Elliot saying that there was a movie made about it.
Oh.
So.
Maybe. I'll have to check that out. But it's like such a weird story.
That's been backed up, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a weird story.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. But anyways, now we get to the good one. I've been looking forward to this all the time. How much time we got? Oh, good. We got a little bit of time. Because we're going to need this. Mm-hmm. Irish folklore is way more badass than American folklore here.
Well, yeah.
It pretty much is across the board. If you've ever heard Irish storytelling, just go listen to some Irish storytelling.
We've talked about a lot of the legends and fairy tales from there. Even their fairy tales
Their folklore kicks the shit out of ours.
Does.
We are weak sauce compared to Ireland. Because they have the Dullahan, or Dark Man.
No.
He is a headless demonic fairy that rides a horse and carries his head under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
The head is, in most versions, is frozen in a hideous grin. And the skin on both the head and the horse is decomposing and has the consistency of cottage, consistency and odor of moldy cottage cheese.
No. That sounds awesome. I think that this is actually one of the heads I got with my mini.
Neat. He wields a whip made from human spines.
Yeah. Which I'm also going to try to make.
And the basic idea of him is that he is either death or death is his bitch. Basically, one or the other is going on.
Exactly.
Because basically, every time he stops riding, someone dies.
Yeah.
And then if he calls out someone's name, they die instantly. Which makes the whip kind of superfluous, honestly. It's a very nice visual and aesthetic touch. But what good is a whip made out of human bones if I can just say someone's name and they die?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying
maybe
that.
Maybe it's for other creatures.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's true. Like, to keep the dogs at bay or something.
Well, not only that, but, like, if he has rivals in the other world, kings or...
Like in the Endless or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Neil Gaiman's The Endless, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. That's a good point. I'll play along with that. But also, what happens if he forgets the person's name? Dave! What do you mean your name's not Dave? Oh, son of a bitch! You get the whip! But no, in one version, he is the driver of a black... Now, wait a minute, I want you to help me here.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry. Because, do this part.
Driver of a black carriage dubbed the Quas Badar.
And I had to have
that's
Crystal do that because she is
That's not quite right because I listened to it a couple hours ago.
But I'm just saying, you were the one that actually saw this and went, oh, I should look up how to pronounce that and got a video of someone from Ireland pronouncing it.
Yeah.
So at least that's a better effort than I could have made. But anyway, so yeah.
The Quas
Badar. Yeah. And the spokes of the wagon are made with thigh bones.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm just saying, if you're wanting a hearse scene in front of your house,
yeah,
a horse-drawn hearse scene, look this dude up.
I think I actually have this carriage that I didn't know was this carriage, but this carriage on my shelf of Halloween.
Neato. So, yeah, basically, this character has made it into a lot of Irish pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, the list of stories and TV shows he's been featured in. They haven't done one about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been involved in a lot of it.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, a parade of this.
Oh,
like,
man.
With the Krampus parade.
Mm-hmm.
Just a parade of the Dulan.
Yeah, but seriously, our headless horseman looks so weak compared to the Dulan.
Mm-hmm.
Dulan. Because he is truly one of the most... I mean, Google right now, Dullahan, Dulan. Google images of this right now.
Yeah.
Seriously. What are we doing in this country? Ours has a pumpkin for a weapon? He's got a whip made of human spines.
Yeah.
Dude, one of those is way more intimidating than the other. Oh, man. Seriously. I learned about this, and it's like, I need more of this in my life.
Right.
And the final one is Scottish folklore. It seems to be a big deal around the British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
But in Scotland, on the Isle of Mull, which is on the west, off the west coast of Scotland,
right,
there is a tale of a headless horseman. According to lore, there was a clan battle at Glen Kinnair, I think is how you would say that?
Yeah, Kinnair.
Kinnair. A man named Ewan was decapitated during the battle, and he was so saddened that the defeat in the battle was denied him any chance to be chieftain.
Mm-hmm.
He rides the countryside, which, hey, that's the takeaway. You get decapitated in battle, and you're sad. Not that you're dead, but that you'll never be chieftain.
You can't rule.
I'd say, homie, you got bigger problems.
Yeah.
But anyways, he rides the countryside. Both he and his horse are headless.
Right. That's got to be a sight. I have not seen this in any kind of artistic...
No, I have not been able to find an artistic representation of it. But, wow... Literally a headless horse. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a headless horse, headless horseman.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. So I guess I can't be the ruler of this place. So I'll just
run the countryside and with a headless
and
horse and myself.
I don't know.
You know, ghost stories rarely make sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
They rarely do, because mm-hmm. honestly, I mean, if I have a tragic death.
Inside joke.
Sorry. There's no chance in hell I'm spinning my wheels in the place where it happened. Fuck you. I'm going to Maui. I'm going to haunt Key West or Maui or some shit. I'm not hanging around that dump.
No.
Sorry, guys. I'm very bad at this haunting thing. Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, seriously, there's tons of great Headless Horseman stories out there. I had no idea this was such a common thing. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the thing with legends, is that, you know, there's rarely does it exist in one spot.
Yeah.
There's tales of it all around the globe, and nobody knows how they got there.
Yeah, like dragons. No one knows how dragons are a thing in almost every culture.
Or vampires.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the modern version of the vampire has a direct connect. Right. You know where that came from, one specific place.
But there are really old legends about it.
Yeah, they're about blood-sucking creatures and vampires of all mm-hmm. stripes. Yeah, all over the world. No one knows where this came from. And so, yeah, but it's just very cool. Because Headless Horseman's kind of a specific, like, Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
Starred Nicolas Cage. But the idea of like a ghost rider or a ghost, it's like a ghost ship. That is everywhere, because there are riders everywhere and there are ghost stories everywhere. So, of course, there are ghost riders and ghost ships and so forth.
Yeah.
But the very specific Headless Horseman thing.
Right.
And especially the Headless Horseman that brings death.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting.
It's very interesting how specific this got. And like I said, the legend of the Green Knight goes back to the 14th century. That way predates anything in the United States. Way predates the United States.
Yeah.
Technically, the Headless Horseman predates the Sleepy Hollow. Legend of Sleepy Hollow predates the United States, but not by much. Mm-hmm. That's not by so much. So yes, indeed, with all that in mind, let us return to the weekly question we asked you all. What is your favorite Halloween candy? I see we've got some answers. Crystal, take it away.
Okay. Ellie likes candy corn.
Monster! Evil, burn the witch!
Elliot says Starburst or Tootsie Rolls. Nothing too special.
Yeah. Well, Starburst has got to be the pink ones, honestly.
Last year, in his ghoulie bag from Reaper Miniatures, he got nothing but pink Starburst, and he was ecstatic. Because he told me about it. Greg Reinhardt said Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That's a classic.
I like the mini cups. I don't like the big ones. The peanut butter to chocolate is off for me on the big
and I, and size. I, and also, it's just easier to eat the minis.
Yeah. Bill Ritchie is Tootsie Rolls, and that made near Chicago, he thinks.
That wouldn't shock me.
So he's with you on the Tootsie Rolls. Chris Gay is Reese's Pumpkins.
Reese's Pumpkins are a thing.
Dong Garlic is Reese's all the way. You like Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, I'm a Reese's Pieces guy more than the peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
Because I think that's it. It's like, you get your Reese's based upon your chocolate to peanut butter ratio you desire.
Yeah.
If you like a lot of peanut butter to not as much chocolate, you get the peanut butter cup. Yeah. You want a little bit less of both, you get the minis.
Yeah.
And then if you want way more chocolate, you get the Reese's Pieces.
Hmm. Yeah. Pete Blackwell said Jelly Bellies, which I thought was interesting.
I don't know
that I've ever seen those in Halloween candy.
I'm trying to think if I have.
And Sean O'Loughlin said Caramel Apple Lollipops, which are very good. I agree. Those are delicious.
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
Yeah. And he would go for Tootsie Rolls, but those are year-round for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. I never touch Tootsie Rolls outside of Halloween. Tootsie Rolls never enter this house except as Halloween candy to give out.
No.
And then I usually eat them all.
Yeah, I made sure to get put a bag in of Tootsie Rolls. So, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we got more candy coming this week?
Yeah.
We're stocking up our Halloween candy week by week right now.
Yeah.
Weird as that
sounds. Exactly.
Sound. As weird as that sounds. It's just, it's easier for us to do that than do it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, everyone, I think that's it. We've done it. We've made it through another episode of Haunt Weekly, and so have you.
Did you enjoy that bonus episode? Please share us with a friend and leave us a review. And always, I'm always open to feedback on what you're enjoying and what you're not enjoying. Just drop me a line, philip@hauntattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, stay scary.